There are many dumb things you could do behind the wheel of a vehicle. Topping that list by far is driving while drunk. Cost of that crime is more than really just financial. It could take away many lives with it. The penalty structure for DWI is a multi-level one, with the penalty getting more severe after each offense because, yes, there is no limitation on stupid. My first guest with us today is here with the details of a bill making its way through the State House in Trenton, which would add a penalty and a lesson provider and a Maybe, in light of the Super Bowl, a stronger prevent defense to what the first-time DWI offender has to deal with. He is a MAD National Board Member Vice Chair, Stephen Benvenisti. Thanks for being here today, Stephen.
Thank you, Chris.
And a couple of websites for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It is MADD.org. And Stephen has a website, StopDrunkDriving.us, because this is... No matter, you know, like I said, Stephen, no matter how illogical or just plain stupid it sounds, whether it's human error or just ignorance or arrogance, there are still people, unfortunately, Stephen, who get behind the wheel when they've had way too many. And I know if, I've talked to a few police officers over the many years doing this show, and no matter what the driver blows into the balloon or whatever the apparatus is, they've only just had a couple each and every time.
You know, I'm a partner at the New Jersey law firm of Davis, Saperstein & Solomon, and we represent so many drunk driving victims and their families, and we get to see firsthand the devastation caused by every drunk driving crash. And that's why it's an honor to be a part of Mothers Against Drunk Driving and to be on their national and New Jersey board of directors. The goal of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, the mission of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, has always been to end the violent crime of drunk driving. And they've been doing that successfully. And then years ago, there was new technology which was developed, and it's called an ignition interlock device, which is essentially a breathalyzer that's put into the vehicle of a convicted drunk driver, and the vehicle will not be able to be operated if the driver has sufficient alcohol in their system. So back in 2010, I testified in Trenton for that device to become part of New Jersey law. And incidentally, whenever we're referring to New Jersey law and drunk driving, if you ask any lawyer, if you ask any police officers, the specific law is NJSA 39:4-50. That is the law that directly addresses drunk driving offenders. So when this device was part of the technology being used to stop people from operating their vehicle after drinking, and specifically convicted drunk drivers, states throughout the country started to modify their drunk driving legislation so that this device could be incorporated into their legislation. So in 2010, when this device was being addressed and when I was testifying in Trenton to have this device become part of New Jersey law, the legislature agreed, and the governor at the time signed into law a law that states in New Jersey, and since that time, that if you're convicted of drunk driving and it is your first offense, if your blood alcohol content is 0.15% or greater, and just to give you some perspective, 0.15% is almost double the legal limit, and the limit is 0.08%. If it's 0.15% or above, and it's your first offense, you are going to get an ignition interlock device put in your car when you operate a motor vehicle. And then, of course, for repeat offenders, it's automatic. So we at Mothers Against Drunk Driving realized years ago that those states which modified their laws to change so that every single person convicted of drunk driving, including first-time offenders, get this device in their vehicle once they begin operating it again, the data on the lives being saved is dramatic and powerful. Just to give you some examples, when West Virginia changed their law to make it required that if you're convicted once of drunk driving, you get an ignition interlock device in your car, their fatalities were reduced by 50%.
Wow.
When New Mexico did it, their fatalities were reduced by 38%. The statistics on the effectiveness of this device, specifically when states change their laws to incorporate requiring this device for all first-time offenders, are dramatic, they're life-saving, they're very powerful, and every single state needs to make as part of their law a requirement that if you're convicted once of drunk driving, once you get behind the wheel again, you're going to have to utilize this ignition interlock device to operate your motor vehicle. 28 states and the District of Columbia now have changed their laws. And the laws in those 28 states and the District of Columbia are that if you are convicted once of drunk driving, you get this device in your car. And just to give you a little bit more feedback, New Jersey, in light of those statistics, addressed changing their law. And in 2014, I testified 5 times in Trenton, and the legislature overwhelmingly approved a bill to modify our drunk driving law, stating that everyone convicted of drunk driving gets this in their car. It was put before Governor Christie's desk, and the other governors, without exception, throughout the country, all signed these bills into law, and Governor Christie became the first governor ever to veto that bill.
That's just total idiocy. We're talking with Stephen Benvenisti, attorney, and we'll also get into the story, too. He is a survivor of a drunk driving incident, and he's also a MADD national board member, MADD.org, and Stephen's website, StopDrunkDriving.us. The bill we're talking about in the assembly is A4016, and even before this version or this revision of the ignition interlock law came about with the old setup from 2010 until today, almost 40,000 drunk driving attempts were unplugged because of what had been the number of ignition locks that already had been installed. So this would just expand it. And the structure of the bill, if you look at the driving suspension for the first timer, it is being reduced, but the mandatory time you have to have the ignition interlock installed in your vehicle, that is going to go past the point of your license suspension, which to me, and as the afterthought after I first read them, thinking, well, that's kind of weird. But then how many times have we heard of a drunk driver being caught while driving with a suspended license? The suspension, if someone wants to be stupid, is not going to really matter. They're not going to think that thing through, are they?
Well, it's a very good point that you raise, and it's been addressed and it's been studied. And 50 to 75% of convicted drunk drivers continue to operate their motor vehicle even with a license suspension, and that is throughout the country. And there's an explanation for that, because many of these convicted drunk drivers still need to go to work, still need to support their families. So even though it was an associated punishment, it wasn't being followed, and we're talking about 50 to 75%. So what is our real goal? Our goal, obviously, is to prevent crashes. Our goal is to save lives. And that's why this device is what is so important and needs to be incorporated in every single law throughout the country that addresses drunk driving, so that every single person convicted of drunk driving will not be able to operate their motor vehicle if they are drunk. And that's really what is most important.
And we can get into statistics, but you know, that's what Google is for you listening. And it would just become maddening after a while, because there's just so many glaring statistics of what is wrong and what is just totally idiotic and counterproductive with drunk driving. But as I mentioned, Stephen, you have a personal experience and story with a drunk driving incident that took place while you were a college student here in New Jersey.
That's correct. I've been a lifelong resident of the state of New Jersey. And when I was at the College of New Jersey, I was a senior. I was 6 weeks shy of graduating. A repeat offender drunk driver was driving on the roadway, and I was walking with my friends. That drunk driver, with his car lights off, suddenly lost control of his vehicle, came at us, and he crashed right into me. According to the reconstruction of this crash, he crashed into my lower legs, crushing them upon impact. My torso smashed against the hood of his car. My head and face went through the outside windshield of his car, and my body was thrown 70 feet, tumbling in the street, landing face down. I was not pronounced dead at the scene, but I was unconscious in a coma, and I was transported immediately to the nearest trauma center hospital. At the hospital, the doctors examined me and immediately contacted my family in Bergen County to let them know that it didn't look like I would live for more than a couple of hours. They told my parents to come to the hospital immediately. The hospital happened to have been in Florida, because I was on spring break, college spring break, with my fraternity brothers. And they also asked my parents to consent to my organ donation, because I was at the deepest possible level of unconsciousness. There's a scale called the Glasgow Coma Scale, which measures the degree of unconsciousness when someone is in a coma, and I was at the lowest level. The level was 3, and if you ever Google Glasgow Coma Scale 3, you'll see that virtually everyone passes away, and the few that survive are completely and totally disabled. So my parents, when they heard that, they obviously were overwhelmed with sadness, overwhelmed with fear, and they immediately got a room in the hospital to be by my side, and they stayed by my side while I was unconscious. And to the surprise of all of the physicians and my family, after almost 2 weeks, I regained consciousness. I came out of the coma. The problem was that I had all of the problems that are associated with having a severe traumatic brain injury. And aside from that, I had catastrophic orthopedic injuries where it didn't look like they would be able to save my legs. But specifically, my left leg was really the most damaged since they were both shattered. After being in the hospital for 5 months, undergoing 15 surgeries, extensive rehabilitation, very, very difficult work with amazing family support, amazing support from rehabilitation professionals, I was able to achieve a 100% full recovery from all my physical injuries, all my cognitive injuries, and that was to the surprise of all of the physicians. So what I currently do now is I am on the board of directors of Mothers Against Drunk Driving National, Mothers Against Drunk Driving New Jersey, the Brain Injury Alliance of New Jersey, which is the largest organization in New Jersey that addresses the problem of brain injury in our state. And I went on to fulfill my dream of becoming an attorney. And now I'm a partner at the law firm of Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon. And what I do is I represent personal injury victims throughout New Jersey. But such a large part of my practice is devoted to representing drunk driving victims and their families, because this issue is obviously so close to my heart.
And Stephen tells a story in his book, Spring Break, A True Story of Hope and Determination, available on Amazon, whichever other way you have a favorite way of getting a book. It is certainly a must-read in one of those books that you have to share and buy a second copy for somebody else, because the true life stories become a much more powerful lesson than cold, heartless statistics do for some people. And Stephen's story is one of those true life stories that you never want to have invade your life the way it invaded his life. And while you're wandering around the web, go to njledge.state.nj.us and contact your assembly member, because the bill A4016 has made it out of the various committees and is making its way through the process. So just let, before it makes it to the vote on the floor of the assembly, let your assembly member know that this is one that is mandatory of their yes votes. That's A4016. And contact your legislative member at njledge.state.nj.us. And I know I'm laying a lot on your ears, and of course we have it all at our website too. Stephen's website, stopdrunkdriving.us. Matt is at madd.org. Stephen Benvenisti, thank you so much for being here today.
Chris, thank you, and thank you for really giving attention to this life-saving issue.